from the book of Luke, beginning with verse 11. A man had two sons. The younger son told his father, "I want my share of your estate now before you die." So his father agreed to divide his wealth between his two sons. A few days later, this younger son packed all his belongings and moved to a distant land, and there he wasted all his money in wild living. About the time his money ran out, a great famine swept over the land, and he began to starve. He persuaded a local farmer to hire him, and the man sent him into his fields to feed the pigs. The young man became so hungry that even the pods he was feeding the pigs looked good to him, but no one gave him anything. When he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, "At home, even the hired servants have food enough to spare, and here I am dying of hunger. I'll go home to my father and say, 'Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I'm no longer worthy of being called your son. Please, take me on as a hired servant.'" So he returned home to his father, and while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. Filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. His son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I'm no longer worthy of being called your son." But his father said to the servants, "Quick, bring the finest robe in the house and put it on him. Get a ring for his finger and sandals for his feet, and kill the calf we have been fattening. We must celebrate with a feast, for this son of mine was dead and has now returned to life. He was lost, but now is found." So the party began. Oh, this is God's word for you, God's people. Amen? Amen. Oh, the story of the prodigal, how this story is told, be it in today's language or in the language of Jesus' day, we find ourselves taken back by how this story plays out. It's an emotional story that brings to mind words like greed and disrespect, love, jealousy, anger, forgiveness. But probably that word that most lifts above every other word of this story is this word called grace. Grace, this amazing grace that this father has for not only this younger son who squanders everything, but as we understand the stories doesn't end where I stopped, we understand also this grace upon grace that he has for this older son who is angry and jealous over what this younger son has done. Luke 15:11 begins with these words. There was a man who had two sons. So right off, we understand that the heart and the soul of this story is not about two brothers or good and bad boys, but it's a story about the father, an older man who sits by his window gazing hopefully down a stretch of road, a man looking across the horizon, waiting for his lost son to return home. Luke tells us that Jesus shared this story because the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling about the fact that Jesus welcomed sinners, that Jesus had some strange ideas about who can be received and how people can be brought into the kingdom of God. And Jesus went so far as even to eat in the homes of these unclean people, of these sinners, of these people who are not good, decent, upright folk. And any true representative of God would not associate himself with people of ill repute like that, those kind of people. But Jesus did. And the Pharisees and the scribes, they didn't like that at all. They grumbled. They spoke among themselves. It was as if today they would have been tweeting and texting and emailing until their little fingertips got blisters. But you know, it always comes back around. You just cannot hide gossip. And Jesus commanded, or Jesus responded with this little parable. A man had two sons. Now the man in the story represents God. God in the person of Jesus. The young son represents sinners, lost people who Jesus befriends. People who are not living in relationship with the Father. This is the young son represents these folk. And the older brother represents these self-righteous people who think God should just love them a little bit more because they are good folk, and lost people, these people who live contrary to God's word and will and way, that God really should probably love them a whole lot less. So the story begins. This younger son goes to his father one day and says, "Dad, let's pretend that you're dead, okay? Give me all the money that you're planning to leave me whenever you kick the bucket. Think of all the lawyer fees that you're going to save by paying me, by giving me the money now. Think about Washington, what it might do with the tax code and between now and then. There might not even be anything left. And besides, you know, you'll be able to see the smile on my face. Of course, you wouldn't be able to see that if you were dead, Dad, right? Right?" And for some reason, this father, he divides out the inheritance and gives this younger son the share that is coming. And a few days later, the boy packs his bag, leaves without even a handshake, and goes off to a far country where he spends his entire fortune on what the Bible calls wild living. And you know the rest of the story, how the kid ends up without a dime, living in the gutter. He gets a job feeding pigs, which is a terrible disgrace because you know just how Jews feel about pork. And finally, this young man comes to his senses. Even his father's servants live better than what he's living. So he heads home, red-faced, tail between his legs, practicing his apology all the way home. And there in the window sits the old man, waiting with love and forgiveness in his heart. And as that boy returns home, he rehearses in his head a speech about not deserving to be his son anymore and hoping that he could somehow maybe just be a hired hand. But before he even makes it home, the father sees him coming down the road. And he throws the door open and he runs to greet that boy and he gives them this big bear hug. And before he can even give his little rehearsed speech, the father calls for a robe and a ring and the servants to go and kill the fatted calf because they're going to have a party because this son of mine who was lost, he is now found. His son has come back home. His child has come back home. What an amazing story of love and mercy and forgiveness. And you know that story doesn't stop there. You know there's a second part to that story. Yeah. The older, more responsible son, he's out working out in the fields where he belongs. He returns from working, and lo and behold, he hears music, and people are laughing, and he smells something cooking, and there's a party. Wow, maybe it's for him. So he asks someone, what's going on? And he's told, your younger brother has come home, and your father is throwing this huge celebration. Yeah, the old man throws a party for the kid coming home. You know, man, his father never has thrown him a party for staying home. You know, the old man kills the fatted calf and has this great banquet. never killed a fatted calf for me for just staying home and doing the work and doing what I'm supposed to be doing and following the way I'm supposed to follow. Talk about an injustice. Kid goes off, he blows it all, and his father restores him just like nothing ever happened. It's almost like being rewarded for being bad. Dad, that's really going to teach him a lesson. Yeah. But again, the father was watching. And just as the father had run down the road to meet that younger son, he goes out to the older son. He pleads with him to come in and to join the celebration. And Jesus ends the story with us not really knowing whether this older son comes in or not to join that celebration or not. Now, I think Jesus hoped that we might see something of ourselves in these two brothers. For as the younger son chose the inheritance over a relationship with his father, the older son chose self-righteousness over a relationship with his brother. Get that? Both sons are loved and valued by the father, and both sons are very much in broken relationship with their father. Understand that. One can't help but to wonder, did the older brother ever ask for a party? I don't know. If the father gave the younger son his inheritance, wouldn't he surely give the older son a goat? Maybe he never asked. I don't know. Fact is, you see, that everything the father had would be this older son's. The younger son had already spent his inheritance. The older son would get twice of what the younger son received and everything that was left over. But the older son couldn't express what he wanted. He would rather sulk and be angry than take part in this celebration. And you know, probably a number of us can understand that frustration of that older brother. How many of you are the oldest child? Wow. Yeah. How many of you are the youngest, like me? Yeah. Okay. How many of you had to blaze the trail with strict rules? Older children. Yeah. And how many of you had younger brothers and sisters that got away with murder, in other words? Frustrating. You bet. Us baby folks, boy, we kind of really had it made, didn't we? That's just not right. Here is this responsible, dedicated older son out working in the field, doing what he was supposed to be doing. And this boy is hoeing in the field and had been out there hoeing for so long that he didn't know how to do anything else. He'd never really been what you call disobedient. He had always worked hard, always doing what he is supposed to be doing, following what he is supposed to be following, and he'd come to depend on this sterling record of achievement and responsibility that he had never needed forgiveness. And now he didn't know how to show mercy. You see, the older brother was offended by what he saw as cheap grace. Letting his brother come back home was one thing, but a party, that is just too much. You know, this younger son, he needed to earn his way back into the family. And folks, it is that incredible grace, that undeserved forgiveness that can offend people. But it is also the hinge which our faith rests. Glenn Davis, a Presbyterian pastor, told about preaching on this passage, and he said that there was a man who rarely came to church, but happened to be there on that particular Sunday that his daughter was taking part in the service, and Glenn was preaching on this passage of the prodigal, and And he talked about how this son had wasted his inheritance and came crawling home like a whipped puppy. And he tried to describe the total unmerited forgiveness that that boy received with no strings attached. And then he made his mistake. He was to find out later that of suggesting that God is like that father. This God of ours forgives and loves us unconditionally. The man came up after service to him, and he was red in the face, and he could hardly contain his anger, and he said, "You're making a fool of God. That boy has to pay for what he did. He has to earn his way back into that family." And the pastor tried to explain, but how do you explain grace? And the man walked away angry. And if we're honest, there's maybe even a part of us that agrees with that man. You know, sometimes we find ourselves feeling that way about others. I don't understand why God calls me to feed the hungry when at least some of the hungry ought to go out and feed themselves like I do. You know, I don't understand why I should help the poor when at least some of those poor ought to go out and get a job themselves, like I do. I don't understand why God wants me to forgive someone who has really deeply harmed me. What God really ought to do is punish them and inflict on them some measure of pain in which they inflicted upon me. But then there's that God of ours telling us to feed the hungry, to help the poor, to forgive those who hurt me, to love my enemies, to pray for those who even hate me. And we might say, "I don't understand this, God. I don't understand that kind of love. I don't understand the old man sitting alone in the window waiting. And you see, that's the point of the story, church. That's the point of the story. Here is our God who loves us and whose love that will not be dissuaded by our sin or by our stubbornness or even by our stupidity. Oh, the older brother, he didn't believe the younger brother deserved to be forgiven. And you know, he was exactly right. He didn't deserve to be forgiven. He'd been a lousy son. He didn't deserve forgiveness. But you see, his father forgave him anyway. There's this younger son who doesn't believe that he can be forgiven, and the older son who doesn't think that he needs it. Just as the younger brother separated himself from the family by wild living, this older brother separates himself from his family with rigid living. Both were lost sons. Both were lost sons that Jesus speaks of. And the Father runs to meet both. The Father invites them both to the celebration. The Father loves both and offers grace to both of these sons. In a strange way, these two very different sons are very much alike. In fact, the story could have ended this way. It could have ended this way. After the party for this younger brother had ended, this older, ever more responsible brother left home angry with his father, angry with his brother, angry at the world. He took nothing but his anger and his strong work ethic back out to the city, and soon he had this executive position where he made a lot of money and he was considered important by the people all around him. And he had every material possession that he could ever want, all the wealth and power that he had ever need. And sometimes he would sit there in his office and he would look out at the all the his impressive view and think about his father and his brother and how he had showed them how he could make it on his own. And he certainly didn't need any of the family fortune, you know, from them. But then he would remember that he had cut off all contact with them and when he left. And so they never would know about his success and all that he had amassed. He daydreamed about inviting them to visit, imagining the envy and the respect that they would feel seeing all that he had obtained. And he imagined telling them how he had done it all on his own and how he had no need of them and how they would bow their heads in shame and how they treated him so poorly. And as he turned this thought over in his mind over and over again, somehow his heart got a hold of it. And he realized, you know, that's not true. They never really did treat me poorly. For it was his anger that caused him to interpret it this way. This small realization opened a floodgate of longing and loneliness as he realized that he may have it all in the eyes of the world, but he knew that he had nothing. So he swallowed his pride and he left with his head hanging low and he made his way home, wondering if he would ever be accepted into the family again. And as he turned that last corner on his long road home, he was amazed to see his father, his loving father, running toward him. His father, you see, had been sitting by the window, gazing hopefully down that long stretch of the road, just as he did for his younger brother, waiting and waiting for him to come home. And like that younger brother, now this older brother falls on his father's feet and he says, "I've sinned against heaven and against you, and I'm not worthy to be called your son." And his father lifts him up, embraces him, and takes him home to where his younger brother is, busy organizing a party to celebrate his return. Church, not one of us, not one, deserves God's love. Not one of us. We do not enter the joy of God's kingdom by merit. Not one of us. But only by God's grace. The great Bible expositor Mark Twain said, "Heaven goes by favor. If it went by merit, you would stay out and your dog would go in." Oh, we don't earn our invitation, but God invites us to the celebration nevertheless. Whether we are the younger son or the older brother, God invites us to experience that joy of grace, that joy of forgiveness, and the joy of relationship with Jesus Christ. Oh, God loves you. God loves me. And He has made the way possible. That's what we celebrate at Easter. Jesus going to the cross because of that love. That love for you. That love for me. That love for all people. And there's nothing that you're going to do or I'm going to do to earn it. We're like either that younger son or we're like that older son because we are people, God's people. And it's grace, unmerited grace. And that is God's good news, isn't it?